Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, this is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, once again coming to you with geeky goodness for your computer lifestyle. Ah, yes. Once again, we slide into the tech world to find out what's happening out there among the geeks. And, of course, your chief geek is right here, ready to be your guide for your geeky journey. Now, you know we did a podcast earlier this week on Tuesday, and so this week's podcast, is going to be maybe a little shorter. Then again, maybe it won't be. I don't know. What do I know? We go with the flow here on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. But I tell you what, so much happened this week that I didn't get a chance to do a whole lot of blogging until last night when I just went crazy and did a tremendous amount of blogging about a lot of different things to try to catch up. So I'm hurrying, trying to catch up to do the podcast, because if I didn't do that last night, then I wouldn't have anything to talk about today, because I wouldn't have done any blogging, and you know how that goes. Okay. Well, first of all, it all started. Let me go back to the beginning, you see, last night. Last night, I sat down to watch TV, as I normally do on a Friday night, because Sci-Fi has a very cool science fiction Friday, and I always like to watch all those good science fiction programs, being a true science fiction fan and geek in that regard as well. You know, computer geeks tend to also be sci-fi geeks. It just kind of goes together somehow. But at any rate, so in order to see what was coming on, and you know, particularly since they've kind of changed off, you know, last week was the season ender for all my Stargate programs, okay? And so now Doctor Who's coming on, and I'm like, I'm really psyched about Doctor Who, and I don't want to miss it. So what did I do? I went to evoketv.com, one of my favorite websites, to go check out what the schedule is. You get to see exactly when things air, and a little synopsis about the program. Cool stuff. And it's Web 2.0, so it's got all kinds of cool little features. I go to evoketv.com, and what did I find? A message, not evoketv.com, not the program schedule, a message that says, "So long and thanks for all the fish." I'm not kidding you. That's what it said. It said, "So long and thanks for all the fish." EvokeTV is no more. It is gone. Apparently, they are looking for venture capital funding to continue, but they just couldn't keep going. Bunch of guys doing it for free, and bless their hearts, more power to them. I really want my EvokeTV back. You know, you remember the old thing of, I want my MTV? Well, I want my EvokeTV. And so, I put it out on Dig, and I blogged about it. How cool it was. So, you know, if you're a venture capitalist, you have several millions of dollars, contact the folks at EvokeTV and keep EvokeTV back on the web, because I used it and it was cool. At any rate, so I had to actually look at the schedule the old-fashioned way by just turning on the channel and seeing what was on. Man, how low-tech is that? Anyway, there you go. EvokeTV. Write them, encourage them, pat them on their little heads. And please, somebody give them some money, okay? I sure can't, but hey, somebody can. Somebody give them money. You gave, you know, look, you venture capitalist dudes, listen. You gave Kevin Rhodes, what was it, $60 million for Dig? You know, some huge amount of money? And he turned around and put all that back in the infrastructure. He didn't keep any of it. He still couldn't even buy his own couch. You know, which shows, Kevin, dude, listen, you, sir, are a true geek. Yeah. Anyway, point being, the guys at EvokeTV, they had a good thing going. Let's get them some money. Okay, enough said. All right, let's move on to the next item. A new version of wine has been released. Now, as I say in the blog, no, not the liquid variety of wine. The wine that is, wine is not an emulator. You know those recursive, weird, Unix-y names that geeks give things? W-I-N-E, wine is not an emulator. And of course, wine is an emulator. Well, yes it is. See, there you go. It's recursive. Wine is not an emulator. You see, Wine is not an emulator in the sense that, and let me just back up a minute. Let's just back up a second here. All right. First of all, you got to understand what wine is, right? Wine is a software program that runs on Linux that allows you to run Windows programs. So therefore, you'd say, oh, well, in that case, Wine must be an emulator of Windows so that the Windows programs know how to run on Linux. Well, no. What Wine is basically reverse engineering the APIs, Application Program Interface, for Windows, and running that as a layer on top of Linux. And you say, well, isn't that an emulator? Well, no. It's a re-engineering of the APIs of Windows to allow it to run as a layer on top of Linux. You see the problem. How do you define an emulator? Things to make you go, Well, anyway, that's why they came up with Wine is not an emulator, which is Wine, which is not an emulator. Anyway, bottom line is the new release is 0.9.22 of Wine. They're getting very close to version 1, and you know what that means. Version 1 in open source means, dude, we have arrived. Oops, said dude. Sorry. Back up. Hold on. I am not supposed to say dude, because particularly not as often. Now, if occasional dude slips out, you're just going to have to forgive me, all right? I'm sorry. It's just one of those things. Nobody has written me an email that says, hey, Dr. Bill, instead of saying dude, you could say giverax. You know, I don't know. I make up a word. Whatever. Something. But in the meantime, dude works very well. D-E-W-D, dude, okay? And for those of you that really get a bit out of shape when I say dude, I'm sorry. It's just one of those things. Anyway, new version of Wine has been released. Now, what's new in this version? Well, it has the usual assortment of MSI improvements, several bug fixes to the various common controls, pixel shaders enabled by default in D3B, and various improvements in the build process, many translation updates, and of course, as usual, lots of bug fixes. So, go out and try the new version of Wine. See if it works for you. They're always improving it to try to make games run better because they know that the real secret of making computers more accessible to the massive numbers of people is to get the games to run on it. See, it's the gamers that are driving the innovation in the industry, and so that's what we need to do is get the games working. If we had all the games working that work on Windows, working in Linux, everybody would switch and the world would be a happier place. At least that's the theory. I'm not sure I agree with the theory, but that's the theory. Anyway, so that's what Wine is mainly doing. All right, next item. Toshiba Lilla. let me gather my thoughts. Toshiba and Lenovo recall Sony batteries too. Or as well is another way of saying two. This is the T002, which means as well. Okay, you got it. All right, you know Sony batteries, they must really stink because they've been blowing up in Apple laptops. They've been blowing up in Dell laptops. They even had an IBM ThinkPad blow up, and now Toshiba and Lenovo are also recalling Sony batteries. And guess what? They're all made by the one company, Sony, which also did the rootkit DRM hack or issue or whatever you want to call it on music CDs. Sony just seems to be getting more and more evil as it goes down the road. It's a shame because, man, you know, I like Sony. I have a Sony camera, and I've had Sony laptops. I mean, I've had all kinds of Sony products, and they're really cool, but Sony is just doing some stuff they shouldn't be doing. All right? So we're going to keep our eye on that one. Next item. Leo Laporte wants to trademark the word Netcast, and he's rebranded all of his podcasts as Netcast. Now, here's the story behind that. Apple, of course, made the iPod. The iPod, as an MP3 player, has 90-some-odd percent of the market of MP3 players. Okay? And so people have begun to refer to MP3 players in general as iPods, even though technically Apple is the only one that has the product called the iPod, okay? Now, you say, well, what do I care? Well, here's the thing. Most people that listen to podcasts like this one, they pull the file down, they put it on an MP3 player, and then they listen to it maybe while they're driving to work or while they're jogging or whatever. You know, me, I listen to my podcast on a computer sitting at a desk. That's just me, okay? But at any rate, the term pod came from iPod, and so Apple is saying that's part of our trademark name, so we claim full rights to podcast. Now, of course, Leo Laporte, being the soul that he is, who is interested in freedom and is interested in open source and is interested in us having the freedom to use whatever term we want, said, okay, if you're going to try to lock down the term podcast to be an Apple term, then we need to come up with a free and open term called netcast. Plus, he thinks it's an interesting play on words because he looks at it as casting a wider net, you see, which is kind of interesting. But at any rate, netcast. Now, you might say, well, then why is he, if he's so open and free and all that, why does he want to trademark the name netcast? He's trying to do that. Because here's the thing about Leo. He wants to go to the trouble and the expense to trademark the term netcast and then turn around and put it and give it to an open source consortium that will allow the term netcast to be used freely by everybody. Good old Leo. You know, he's always looking out for us. You got to give him some props for that. I like Leo, you know? Okay, anyway. So, netcast. So, the question is, in the technology world, which term will win out, podcast or netcast? Now, here's the thing. Podcast is entrenched. You know, it's kind of like tissues, okay? Most people don't call a tissue. They call it a Kleenex. Kleenex is technically a brand name. Yet they refer to a Kleenex or tissue as a Kleenex. Okay? Same thing with podcast. Okay, Apple may get around to, quote, trademarking podcast, but there's going to be a whole lot of us that have always called it a podcast that is going to have a really hard time not calling it a podcast. It's going to take a real effort to call it netcast. Okay? We'll work on it. We'll see whether that actually happens. All right, last item, Geek Software of the Week. I know you guys love the Geek Software of the Weeks that we come up with. This one's a strange one, okay? I can't 100% say this is cool or not. This is more of a Geek Software of the Week question mark. So you've got to help me decide whether it really is truly a Geek Software of the Week. How's that for unique? Okay, here's what it is. It is software that you download from a site called Vidoo, V-I-I-D-O-O. Now, what that is, of course, is a play on the term video, V-I-D-E-O. And, of course, as I have said many times before, the reason they come up with these weird names is because all the good domain names are taken. So they've got to come up with a domain name that is available and that people can remember, and so they came up with Vidoo, V-I-I-D-O-O. I can see that maybe why that wasn't taken already, okay? It's not even a real word in any language, but at any rate, I don't know, maybe in Outer Mongolian, what do I know? But at any rate, Vidoo. If you go to Vidoo.com, they call themselves the home of web TV. Now, what they're trying to do is they're trying to establish, in effect, the player to allow production of IPTV, which you've heard me talk about. I'm kind of a champion, you might say, of IPTV. And I really like that concept. Now, is this the technology that's going to do it? Oh, I don't know. It's still in beta. Keep that in mind. It's still in beta. I've noticed that when you choose a channel and turn it on, it goes all wonky. Really wonky looking video. And if you run your mouse over it, just kind of gently scroll over it, it kind of stabilizes down into a stable video signal and then it looks okay. You know, maybe that's a beta issue. Okay. But at any rate, it is kind of cool because like last night, I decided, well, I'll just try this out. And they had an ABC station, which apparently was coming from California because this was later in the evening. And I click on it, and there's Jeopardy! Hey, I like Jeopardy. Matter of fact, I watched it earlier that same evening because I'm East Coast time, they're West Coast time. And so there I am watching Jeopardy again, but I'm watching it over the internet. That's kind of cool, okay? Particularly since I already knew all the questions to the answers because I'd already seen it. So I got to cheat. Well, that's a whole other story. At any rate, also checked out, they had other channels. You need to kind of look at it. Download the player, install it. It's not too bad. Pretty quick install. Then you can run it, and you can see what's out there. They have a whole channel selection, and it's kind of interesting. Now, they didn't have the sci-fi channel, you know. Didn't have some other things that I normally would watch. But, hey, they're just starting out. It is a beta. It's a new thing. Try it. Let me know what you think. Now listen, I'm serious. Let me know what you think. Is this really a Geek Software of the Week? Or is this just kind of a flash in the pan and who knows, they'll be gone tomorrow and who cares? You know, we've talked about the Democracy Player before. That's a whole nother system. And actually, I like the Democracy Player for another reason, and that is it encourages people to produce their own content and put it out there. This Vidu system seems to be taking commercial TV and converting that and allowing you to see it. And from what I can tell, it looks like maybe they're converting it to Flash format and then putting it up on your screen. But it's interesting. It's worth geeking out on a little bit. So check it out. Okay, well, anyway, I know this has been a little bit of a short podcast this week, but we just did one on Tuesday, so cut me a break, okay? Okay, anyway, congratulations once again to our winner of the Dr. Bill contest, salute, and stay tuned for other contests that may be coming in the future. Who knows? We may give away really big, cool stuff, depending on the budget, okay? You know, there's those budgetary concerns, and you know, that can be an issue. Oh, that reminds me, since I do have a little extra time, let me mention something to you. Several years ago, not too many years ago, 2-3 years ago, I had a website called ThriftyWare, okay? Now, this website was something that I did for two reasons. One, kind of as an experiment in e-commerce. Another was because I wanted to get open source products out to the world. I wanted to spread open source and the joys of Linux and so forth to the masses. And so I created ThriftyWare. Now, let me read you just the briefly what it says in let me back up a little bit, too. I'm getting ahead of myself, as I usually do. I get ahead of myself. Here's the thing. ThriftyWare is something that I ran for a little while, and then, to be honest, it just kind of, I kind of lost interest is basically what it boiled down to. And so I let it go, and I let go of the domain name, and it just, when you have a domain name, and it's kind of a cool domain name, as soon as you let go of it, they grab it, and they cyber squat. You've heard about cyber squatting? That's where they get the domain name, and they hold it, and they think, ha ha ha, he let that name go, and so now he's going to want it back because he probably forgot to re-register it, and so we're going to charge him thousands and thousands of dollars. Well, guess what? They did that with ThriftyWare. They took the domain name and they sat on it for a long, long time. Now remember, this is 2004 when I let go of ThriftyWare. Earlier this year, I got to thinking about, you know, it might be fun to do ThriftyWare again. So I went out and looked, and guess what? The name was available. The Cyber Squatters had let it go. How's that for weird? So I went ahead and re-registered ThriftyWare again. And now I have ThriftyWare.com. And you say, well, why do I care? Well, okay, here's the ThriftyWare concept. It's such a heavy concept that I have to explain it to you. You see the term thrifty. Thrifty, that word has gotten kind of a bad rap over the years. People look at thrifty as people who, you know, they just squeeze a penny and get everything they can out of it, and they're real chintzy. Okay, if you look up the definition of thrifty, in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it says, thriving by industry and frugality, prosperous, growing vigorously, given to or marked by economy and good management. These are all good things, right? Okay, now because of this concept of thriftiness, we're determined to provide high-quality software at a reasonable price. And you might say, what's a reasonable price? Well, here's the thing. Let's take a Linux distribution. Okay, a Linux distribution typically is 640 megabytes. Now, for a lot of people, if they have a really slow internet connection, that can take forever to download an ISO image of a CD to install Linux. Okay? Takes a while for some people. Now, for some of us that have a really, really hot internet connection, oh, maybe 20, 30 minutes tops, okay? Maybe even less. But here's the thing. Once you do that, you have an ISO file. A lot of people just don't know what to do with an ISO file. They've got to burn that ISO into a CD. Maybe they don't have the software to do it. Okay, so maybe they're not clear on that concept. There's a lot of people that drag the ISO file over to their burnable CD and drop it, and they end up with a file on the CD. It's not an image at that point. And then they scratch their head and go, I don't understand why this didn't work. So in other words, the idea of Thriftyware is, I do the downloading for you, I do the burning of the CD for you, I label it for you, I package it, I mail it to you. Now, obviously that takes time, that takes resources, that takes mailing costs, right? So I charge a little bit for that service. Now, what do I charge? Well, in the case of, let's say, FreeSpire. Okay, that's one CD, $5.99. It's not so bad. Time you consider the CD and the time, the effort, and the label. And it's a very cool label. It's kind of red and blue and kind of cool looking, you know. Okay, so that's the concept behind Thriftyware. Now, what I'm doing is I'm officially re-announcing, so to speak, the reemergence of Thriftyware. Now, as it says on the front page, Dr. Bill Bailey, our founder, is of Scotch-Irish descent and knows and appreciates the value of a dollar. Toward that end, he came up with the Thriftyware concept, that of providing value-added services at a greatly reduced price to combat high software prices in the market. Why waste bandwidth downloading and burning an ISO image when we'll do the work for you? He's just a natural-born marketer, what can I say, right? Okay. Anyway, Thriftyware, check out the website. You'll find that we've got Linux distributions out there. We've got open source software for your Windows computer. We've got live CDs that you can run Linux without even having to change your operating system or your hard drive. All kinds of good stuff if you go out and check out Thriftyware. Now, the reason I mentioned Thriftyware, you see, is because if you choose to use Thriftyware as a service to get your CDs of various ISOs, and you end up sending me some money, then I'll have money in the kitty to then maybe turn around and do another podcast contest. See what I mean? See, it's kind of synergistic. You know how to get the synergy flowing. So that's what I'm talking about. Okay? How we do it on time? We got a little time left. Let me mention one other quick thing. And that is, Microsoft has a new Internet Explorer patch, because as you know, Internet Explorer stinks, is awful, and you shouldn't be using it at all anyway. Okay? But here's the thing about that. They've come out with an Internet Explorer patch, and the question is it a little too late? Because the patch fixes a critical security issue that has already been widely exploited, and there's a vulnerability in the vector markup language within Internet Explorer. Now, Steve Gibson talked about this on his special edition of his Security Now podcast. I blogged about it and mentioned the patch for that. But the thing is this patch a little late? Because it's been out there in the field for quite a long time. The key is, keep your patches updated. And the real key is, don't even use Internet Explorer. It's a Microsoft product, so therefore you know it's got to be a dog, right? Okay. You knew that. Come on. You need to be going with Firefox from Mozilla. Version 2 of Firefox is going to be coming out soon, by the way, and it's going to rock. Okay. Enough said. Guess the thing is, remember thriftyware.com. Go over there and check it out. See what you think. You know, I think it looks kind of cool, but then again, I would since I created the website, so what do I know? Anyway, check it out. Order some stuff. Have fun. Play with open source software. Life is good. Yes. And in the meantime, remember, until next week, that the doctor is out. References to ThriftyWare are, of course, definitely something that we want you to consider and are not sponsors because they're actually us. Kind of a weird disclaimer, huh?